All right, welcome to episode 5, the Mean Green Nation podcast. It has been like 3-4 weeks since we last did one. Is that right, Tony?
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's fine, though, because there's not
slackers.
Yep, it's summertime, though, man. We took our vacation. Our podcast mandated like 3-week vacation. It's in the rule book. HR made us do it. Okay, so what do we have going on now? Any news?
Yeah, we got quite a bit of football recruits going on. That's what we got right now.
Yeah. So I guess we could talk about that. And what, Tony Mitchell went to the Stoudemire camp. We got some reports back. Apparently did really well. We'll talk a little bit about that. The APR, the academic progress rate, is that what it's called? That came out.
Yeah.
We passed. We had some decent numbers there. And, you know, like just other tidbits here and there. So I guess let's get started. Like, how much of a recruiting guy are you? Like, are you just, like, totally into this? Like, you're following them? You're watching their YouTube videos? Are you doing any of that?
I mean, I'm into it in a way. I don't really like to – I don't know. I don't watch the videos that much. I watched one of the videos today of one of the offensive linemen we signed, and the dude was beasting on everybody. But then I'm sitting there going, well, you know, he's playing in high school. He's probably playing some, like – fat out of shape defensive end that he's beasting on or something, so who really knows? You can't really take a whole lot from the video, I don't think. I also don't really trust the star rating system. It always seems like, you know, if a guy signs with Texas, he's a 4-star, but if he signs with North Texas, he's a 2-star. You know, all that kind of crap. So I don't really tend to buy the ratings. I just, you know, I hear what people say about him, and I get excited, and then hopefully we just see what they do on the field.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a good point. There are a lot of things, like, there's a lot to the recruiting complex, like, industrial complex, I guess. There's not really an industrial complex, but, like, you know, like, Rivals and ESPN, like, 150 and Scout and all these other places, they're, like, basically trading off the fact that there are a bunch of diehards that are so into recruiting and that they're willing to buy, you know, the magazines and things. And, you know, like, they get on the message boards. And so you give them something to talk about. Like, you know, it's that game. It's like, oh, well, who's your top 10 recruits out there? You know, it's like a parlor game. It doesn't really mean much. You know, I think overall, if the more Rivals and Scout top 100 people you get, the better your team is. But it has a lot more to do with, like, your coaching staff and how you develop those guys and than it does, you know, like, the total star rating you get.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, obviously, when you look at schools, the more higher star rated recruits they have on Rivals, the better their class supposedly is. And I mean, I think it helps, you know, if recruits start seeing North Texas and they start seeing us constantly bringing in, you know, 3- and 4-star recruits, they might want to play here more. So I mean, I guess it is a big deal. I just feel like personally I don't trust the star system very well, but other people do, and recruits definitely look at it. So I mean, yeah. I guess it's good for them.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what happens. That it's useful in certain respects, and so it's kind of like a necessary evil, you know. But overall, like, I guess, like, I look at it more like, are you getting good players, or are you getting, like, bad players, or, like, a lot of project players? And there's not a whole lot between, like, the 4- and 5-star guy. Like, I mean, what makes a guy 5 over 4? Like, well, you know, we saw a lot more tape, or, you know, we know the guy. Or that's a lot of times what ends up happening there. Okay, so with all that said, you know, let's talk a little bit about these guys. I don't know much about them other than the stats that Brett Vito, like, tossed up on there. The Fort Bend offensive lineman, Dominic Walker, 6'5", dude, 275 pounds, he can play guard, smart. He had interest from Baylor. There was the Keller offensive lineman, Cody Nelson. He has good work ethic, they say. But, like, shouldn't they all have good work ethic? 6'7", 275 pounds, gonna play tackle. He had offers from Texas Tech and Baylor. Lake Travis, offensive lineman Hunter Siddons. How are we pronouncing that? Siddons. You guys figure it out there.
Siddons. Yeah, let's go with that.
Apparently, this guy's really good. He was coming off of shoulder surgery, and so he, like, I think somebody with Justin Gaines, is that the UNT guy that recruited him.
Yeah.
He was saying that he'd have, like, 15 to 20 offers if he wasn't hurt. Baylor and UTSA were showing interest. He attended UNT's junior day a while back. 6'5", 293 pounds, right tackle. Let's see, who else we got? Geyer defensive back, John, I don't know how to say this guy's name. Scilecki?
Something like that.
Scilleci. Played cornerback in high school, is going to play safety in at North Texas. Fast, 4.43 40, and he had like a 10-second 100-meter dash. Let's see. He won the district championship in high school in the 100-meter dash. He was recruited by Washington State, and that's significant because that is Mike Leach. Mike Leach, who was recruiting the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex very well while he was at Tech-A-Tech. He says, interesting. Oh, like, and also interesting, he's like, yeah, he's from Denton. He went to Geyer. He says, Denton is a good small town. It has everything you need. It's a good town. Also, go ahead, what?
Oh, I was going to say, the biggest thing with him is we're finally opening up that Denton pipeline that we've so long been shut out from. I mean, I don't know how many years it's been since we grabbed a kid from straight out of Denton, especially Geyer too. I mean, Geyer's a great program, and supposedly the kid's been like running around talking to all the other kids at Geyer and saying, "Hey, we all need to go to North Texas," and you know, stuff like that, which is pretty awesome considering how good of recruits that they get out of there. Supposedly, the quarterback that they're going to have that's going to be a senior next year is supposed to be like, supposedly, somebody said he might be the number one or number two recruit in the nation, and the kid's trying to talk him into going into North Texas. So,
that would be
phenomenal. I don't think we'll get the quarterback, but you know, that would be completely awesome. But just the fact that he's talking, and you know, talking North Texas up, and the fact that McCartney is actually getting into Denton is a great thing.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we'll get into this a little bit later after, like, I only got a few more that I'm just going to list off nice and uninterestingly, I guess. But, like, yeah, that's a big thing. You only need one or two of those guys. One or two of those guys to open the door, and they start bringing their friends. And, the clubhouse has a sticker with North Texas on it because, oh, yeah, you don't remember the guy that used to play here went there. And so, you know, it puts it in guys, like, it's a realistic possibility for those other guys coming up at Geyer. Also local, relatively local, Louisville linebacker Calvin Miner. I don't have any stats on that guy. We also have Paris linebacker Sed Ellis. What is that? Man, I don't know what I'm writing here. I think most interestingly, Austin Connolly's quarterback, Dejon Williams, 6'3", 180, signed over offers from Louisiana Tech and Montana. He went to the junior camp also. He also went to the Round Rock satellite camp. That's interesting. Everybody says that guy's a good quarterback. And I like him because, you know, he's getting interest from Louisiana Tech and their spread offense, not just like spread to run offense, but that air raid type offense that I particularly like. So he's not just an athlete. He's an athlete that can, you know, conceivably fit into a throw-in type system where you have to make some quick judgments and things. I like it.
Yeah, me too. If you look at the kind of quarterbacks, you know, Canales picked up when he was in South Florida, he really likes those dual threat, kind of can run, can pass type quarterbacks. And we really haven't had that here. I mean, obviously, we had Riley Dodge, who could run, but he was short and, you know, couldn't make the throw.
Fred.
And then we've had Derek Thompson, who can, you know, he's got a pretty good arm, but he's not the most mobile guy in the world. And so this kid, Dejon Williams, seems like, you know, he's a really, really good athlete. Supposedly, he runs pretty well and he throws better than he runs. That's what we keep hearing. He's got a really good combination of size and speed and ability as a passer. So I just think it fits really well with what Canales was looking for and what this offense needs. I mean, obviously, I think North Texas is going to always be a good running team. McCarney loves to run the ball. He loves to have big, huge offensive linemen that he can pound the ball behind. But if you can get a dual threat quarterback that's a legit passer and that can also run and spread out, the defense for your running back and for everything else, it's just going to make it so much easier.
Yeah. To go along with what you said there, that's one thing Brett Vito noted in one of his posts. It's pretty much in line with Dan McCarney's philosophy. Big offensive linemen, they're all like 6'3", and linebackers who have a frame that can carry 240 pounds. So there you go. Yep. So, yeah. I mean, it's nice because, Dan McCarney came in here and complaining, rightfully so, about, the smallish guys that we had on the roster. And so he's gone about changing that. He's getting big old dudes to play football, which, it seems like a no-brainer, right? You get big guys, go play football. Let's talk a little bit more about recruiting locally, locally meaning in Denton. I always thought it's kind of a hard sell to get guys to stay in Denton. I mean, because I think part of the fun of college, and I think we talked about this a little bit, part of the fun of college is kind of going off and doing something, kind of being on your own. So I think if you had two comparable programs, maybe you choose the one a little bit further away just for the experience. So I think that's one factor that kind of goes against University of North Texas there. Because you're just you get to go to Fry Street? Is that really it? You get to buy alcohol legally? It's really the only change that's going to go on? It's nothing really is changing for you. I mean,
yeah.
If you're from Dallas moving to Denton, it's a little bit different, It's a little bit different. It's a 45-minute drive, But moving from, University Drive down to Maple Street is not really that big a difference. I think it's 8 minutes. I think I have to. Yeah, I timed it one time.
Who knows the traffic now, but
yeah. So it really is. It's a really awesome job that Dan McCarney is doing and did in getting John Scalecki there. Not only is he good, 4.43 40. He's fast. He's good. And then, like you said, he's trying to get his buddies there. That's really the need, the end you need. If you're gonna get, you can't just get one guy and just pick and choose. You want to get, a nice collection of people there, so they can tell your friends. And I guess most importantly, you have to once you get them in, you have to do something with them and develop them and things.
No, I totally agree with you there. We saw it in basketball. 2 years ago a year and a half or however long ago it was, when we were able to land Jordan Williams. He was the first major recruit we picked up in that class. He was from Dallas, and he was the reason why we were able to get, all those other quality recruits out of Dallas. Was he said, hey, I'm going to North Texas. We should all go to North Texas and, make it a place to be, make it a destination. And, that really helped. It got us that Dallas pipeline, and we've been in it ever since. And, of course, I think that helped us get Tony Mitchell and, being able to do all that other stuff. It got us, Chris Jones. It got us Trey Norris. It got us all those great players. So I think, McCarney's trying to do the same thing here in football. If you can get some kids from Guyer that want to come in and play, and you can get that kid Calvin Miner out of Louisville. I mean, we do say local recruiting as in Denton, but he also wants, Louisville. He wants, I'm sure he'll take a bunch of kids out of Dallas if he can get them out of Fort Worth, out of Arlington, out of, just the whole metroplex area. There's no reason why we have that, that 100-mile area to recruit out of, and it's got some of the best talent in the state. And there's absolutely no reason why we shouldn't be able to talk some of those kids into coming up to North Texas. There's so many things going on with the university, brand-new stadium, brand-new conference to move to. Hopefully an improving record with the football team in the next year or two, and a great coaching staff. There's definitely no reason why we can't get some more local kids in here and get this thing taken off.
Yeah, even though just the ones that would be willing if they could go to a good program. We just need to make it, like, you know, like, just reduce the barriers for staying, you know? Like, it's like, instead of them saying, hey, well, it sucks, your program sucks, and it's really close to home, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Now it's just like, well, it's, like, really close to home. You can say, well, yeah, but, you know, that can also be a plus, kid. You know, come on, sign on the dotted line, kid. Yeah. Like, hey, we're getting a new Walmart, I guess, is what you would say. yeah, so, like, I mean, you know, I think we'll cap recruiting talk right there. I'm not the hugest fan of, like, you know, breaking down 18-year-old kids as far as, like, jumping ability and stuff. I think overall, I think you want to look at all these classes as a whole and not just, like, one or two guys. What were you going to say?
I was going to say that I really love what he's doing with the offensive linemen. Yeah. Every offensive lineman that he's recruited that has accepted so far in this class, 6'5". 6'5", I mean, that's just... It's like a perfect frame for an offensive lineman. Most of these kids right now are like 280, 290. But you got to think by the time, you know, they hit their freshman year at North Texas, they're probably going to be close to 300. And then if they can get built up with the strength and conditioning coach, hopefully they'll be at like 310 or 320, which is like the perfect weight that you want to be in college with that 6'5 frame. And it's just great. I mean, football is obviously the trenches, and I think we're starting to get those big hosses on the offensive line. And now hopefully we start getting some of those recruits that we see on the defensive line with the same size.
Yeah, man. And that's kind of what I was talking about. Like, you don't want to look at this, like, you average football fan out there that are just kind of like, all right, are we doing well? So you just need, like, some tidbits to share with the office folk there. You know, you're trying to sound like you know what's going on. You don't want to talk individually about these guys because, like, Dominic Walker may not be, you know, he may not pan out or whatever. It's, like, the overall thing. The overall recruiting philosophy is, like you said, we're recruiting bigger guys. And like Brett Vito said, bigger guys because we want to, you know, we have a program philosophy that we want to implement. We need guys to fit that philosophy and that scheme. And we're heading that direction. So, you know, we're going to keep – they're not going to give up and say, oh, well, Dominic Walker didn't work out. I guess we're not recruiting 6'5 offensive linemen anymore. Let's try for, like, smaller ones or nothing. No, they're going to just keep getting big guys. Yeah. You know, like, all right, this one didn't work. Well, maybe the next guy will. And also, I mean, you know, it's kind of ridiculous to say, well, yeah, we're trying to get guys with speed. But, yeah, it's one thing I noticed. That we're getting a lot of like a lot of really fast guys and sticking them at safety. They're moving John Skalecki from cornerback to safety. At least that's what they say they're going to do. I think that's important now in this modern era of spread offenses. You want fast guys that can move and that can cover people. You want a guy that used to be a cornerback. You don't want to take linebackers and move them to safety anymore. You want to get cornerbacks and, you know, have them at safety. Because they're going to have to cover people.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so that's it. That's it for recruiting talk until we have more recruiting talk to talk about. You want to talk about some basketball and Tony Mitchell?
Yeah. Mitchell got invited to Amari Stoudemire's Skill Academy, which is a camp that Amari Stoudemire runs, and I think it's something only the top 10 big men or something in the country get invited to. It's a pretty select camp, and sounds like the dude was beasting up there. Sounds like he had a pretty good camp. You know, the coolest thing about that camp is actually that I think each player gets some one-on-one time to work with Amari Stoudemire. So, you know, it's definitely something that can help. We all saw how great Tony Mitchell was last year, and most people were like, man, how can he actually improve? But there was definitely some things that he could work on. His overall footwork definitely did some work, and his jump shot's not – it's good, but it's not, you know, where it could be and where he needs it to be for him to go to the next level of, you know, superstar player. So there's definitely some things that he could have worked on, and it seems like he is. And that that does nothing but good for North Texas.
Yeah, I think that's one of the drawbacks of being – I guess a big fish in a tiny pond. We're not so tiny, but we're not. You know, Texas is not Kentucky, and it's not even Missouri where he originally committed. There's not like a history of like really good NBA caliber players there, and that's really what the sell is. Like, if you're like, hey, come to Duke, it's not just like Duke is like, you know, won national championships. It's that, you know, down the line, like maybe when you need help with your jump shot, you have any number of guys that, you know, did amazing things that, well, are more than willing to counsel you. Like, hey, man, let me just pull you aside. What you want to do here is this. Keep your elbow in, or like when you know what I mean? You have that kind of thing. North Texas, and like we don't have a whole lot of guys that have went to the NBA, and you know, like we don't have Hall of Famers to counsel Tony Mitchell. So it's really nice that he got invited to this camp and he gets that kind of those tips and that advice that, you know, that you just mentioned. You know, like, because, you know, we, you know, that's going to help him be great in the NBA. It's going to help North Texas later on. Like, if he goes on to be Hall of Famer Tony Mitchell or 15-year, you know, like, role player in the NBA Tony Mitchell, I'll take either one of those. It's fine with me. But obviously, I'd like him to be Hall of Famer Tony Mitchell because, you get a point to it because then he'll come back. And, you know, like, when we get another, like, talented big man, or you tap him on the shoulder and say, hey, kid, this is what I did to get to the league, and here's some things. And that makes, you know, tomorrow's players better. I feel like I'm doing a PSA. But, yeah, you know. So, that's one thing I took away from it. And that's the other thing that kind of sucks is because he's already dominating the competition, you know. Like, he's dunking all over everybody. And although it'd probably, like, mean, like, a couple extra points per game or another rebound or two per game if he improved his jump shot and, you know, like, his footwork in the paint, he's still going to dominate. He's still probably going to win Sun Belt Player of the Year if he has anywhere near the season he had last year with, you know, with more games played. So who's going to challenge him, you know? Who's going to, like, you need somebody to go up against him with, like, a similar skill level to make him better, don't you think?
Yeah, and I mean, if he doesn't win Sun Belt Player of the Year, I'm going to be severely disappointed because, I mean, he almost won it. He only played half a season last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I think he'll win that. I'm not really worried about that. But, you know, I'm excited, dude. I'm excited to see, you know, what he learned at the camp. I'm excited to see what he does under Benford. Benford's been, you know, has been drilling him like crazy on a lot of things that he needed to work on, and I mean, it's hard to think about the fact that Tony Mitchell could be even better than he was last year.
Yeah.
And just the fact that we're going to have him for a full year and he's going to be able to go through the, you know, the out-of-conference schedule with us. And then, you know, by the time he gets in the Sun Belt, he's just going to be ready to roll. And it's just exciting to think about it. I'm, it makes me sad because I know it's like, you know, this is going to be the only year, the last year that we have with him, because I have no doubt that he's going to be a lottery pick next year, you know, unless he, like, God forbid, hurts himself. But it's more just like one of those things, you know, we're excited. Let's just go for the ride and see where he takes us, because it's going to be awesome. And he's going to have some help. I mean, we've got some other great players, you know, too. And it's just it's going to be great.
Would you say that you're more excited for basketball or football?
Oh, I'm more excited for basketball. No doubt. I mean, I love I love football. Texas is a football state. We all love football. But it's just one of those things. The football team's still rebuilding, and we all know that. They're 5-7 last year. I expect about the same record this year just because of how tough the out-of-conference schedule is for football. You're going to play at LSU. You're going to play at Kansas State. You're going to play at Houston. So, I mean, that's almost three guaranteed losses right there. It's going to be another rough year, but it's going to be a rebuilding year, and you're going to see the positive steps with football. But with basketball, like we've seen, you know, the explosion of, like, threads and stuff on GoBeInGreen.com and other places and the blog and all this thing, it's, you know, it's been pretty crazy. But the basketball team is just, it's been insane how much everything's exploded. I mean, this is going to be, on paper, the best team that North Texas ever had. I mean, you got Mitchell, you got Williams and Jones coming back, who, according to, you know, Vito's blog, Williams is looking like he's having a real good offseason and doing a lot of stuff. So, and we all saw how Jones was. Jones was pretty much, looked like he was on pace to be the Sun Belt Conference Player of the Year before he got suspended, you know, for the academic issues last year. So it's just real excited to see what the team's going to do. Alzi Williams obviously had a tremendous tournament last year for us. Holman had a great tournament last year. So see if we can build on all that. Franklin. And then, you know, you got Coleman. You got the new kid coming in, Coleman, who's supposed to be, like, a beast. physically. Some people said, you know, he like was towering even over Mitchell and other players. So that'll be really interesting to see. I don't know how much Hardwick or whatever will play this year. The kid we got out of Mississippi State,
yeah,
that ended up coming here. He might get on the floor a little bit, but we got so much talent. It's like, man, you know, almost rather redshirt him and just save him for, you know, next year. But it's just insane, dude. There's so much excitement about this team. I really think that, you know, if they play well in the out of conference, we obviously don't know what the schedule is yet, but I think this team could be a top 25 team when it's all said and done.
Whoa, and hot sports opinions from Tony over here, yeah, on the Mean Green Nation podcast.
I really don't even think it's that much of a stretch. Like, I think this team's going to dominate the belt. I really do. They might lose one game in the belt, like, and you know, I'm sure we'll have to go to Western for like the 18th time in 20 years or whatever the stupid thing is with that. We always seem to play Western in Western every year, and that'll always be a tough game. And I'm sure Middle's not going to be an easy team, but you know.
I think also they're all going to want to take a shot at us too, because it's we're exiting the conference and we got the, you know, the hotshot future MVP, future NBA player on our team. So there's that. I think if anything, that might sharpen Tony Mitchell's skills. That might make the team better. So that way we actually do have a shot in the tournament. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. No doubt. And hopefully, you know, hopefully we can have a really good out of conference season and a really good conference season and get into the tournament and not be, you know, a 15th seed or whatever and have to play a 2 seed. I would really love if we could be like a 12th seed or maybe a 13th seed coming out of the belt. That'd just be awesome. And, you know, try to make a run. That's the one thing that's keeping this program back. We've got everything else right now. We've got the local talent in. We've got the superstar player. We've got good facilities. We've got good coaches. We just need that run in the tournament. We need a VCU type run. We need a, you know, a Gonzaga type run, a George Mason type thing. We need that. If we can get just that one run, if we can get it just one time, you're going to see this program go to new heights and new levels that you've never seen it go to before.
Yeah, I think that's also why the last two losses in the Sun Belt title game were so much of a gut punch, because I think North Texas is kind of riding that high. It was like going out with Josh White. Everybody kind of was familiar with that team, and it would have been nice to see them, like, you know, win the Sun Belt title, because then, you know, that would be on all the things, like, oh, they won the Sun Belt title, like, you know, 2 years in a row, whatever. And then definitely last year, because I think Tony Mitchell would have got even more hype. The team would have got even more hype, just, you know, from everything surrounding that, like saying, oh yeah, North Texas in the tournament. Look at my Sports Illustrated. There he is right there. See on the bottom corner? There's North Texas. There they are in the bracket. That does wonders for, you know, for like everybody's, you know, level of awareness of the program. So, yeah, you're right. I think they have it in them this year. If something messes it up, it's going to be something stupid. I think, you know, it's people like, you know, like academic stuff again, or those kinds of things. I think definitely basketball-wise, everybody has the ability and the talent and the skill level to make it happen, man. I'm excited. I'm trying to reserve judgment. I don't want to be, like, devastated and, like, watching them getting blown out, like, in the third game of the season and be, like, super pissed, because that would not be good for my life, you know?
No, not at all. I mean, they're definitely the driving force this year with North Texas Athletics, and it's just everybody's on the bandwagon. I expect the pit to be crazy every game. It's just gonna be exciting, and like you said, I hope it doesn't all like crash and burn. That'd be horrible. That'd be depressing. Hopefully that doesn't happen.
That's a good point, though. I wonder about like the Sun Belt attendance. Oh, I mean, Sun Belt attendance. The Super Pit attendance. It was picking up steam, like, as word of mouth got out, like, oh, they got that guy, Tony Mitchell, you wanted to go see him. People started to go and pack the pit to go see those kinds of games. And I wonder if they're going to be, like, multiple sellouts this season.
I mean, I don't know if we'll ever, you know, I think the only time we ever had a sellout was back in, like, 1970s when the place first opened. I mean, I don't know if we'll ever have a sellout, but if we can get... yeah, so, I got you. We can get like 7,000.
Yeah, like that Texas Tech game where we had, you know, it was practically a sellout. You couldn't see many empty seats. Yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
A sellout for North Texas is like 7,000.
Yeah. I'd say, I mean, yeah, that'd be awesome.
Out of 10.
Yeah, and it gets really loud in there with 7,000-8,000 people. Like, especially if they're all there to see North Texas. I think a couple. I think what has to happen, we'll have to play like a Big 12 type team, and also it has to be like on a Saturday, and I think that thing would be sold out.
Oh, I'll say this, you know, I don't live near Denton anymore. I'm like 6 hours away, and I ended up driving 6 hours. Yeah, I'm not in Alaska. I ended up driving 6 hours to go see North Texas play Middle Tennessee in February for, you know, one of the Sun Belt games. And it was loud in there. We had probably 5,000, maybe 6,000 in
there.
Wait,
you went to the pit? You drove to... Yeah. Oh, okay.
I drove down to the pit, and there was like 6,000 in there on a Tuesday night for a Sun Belt game. I mean, that was a legit crowd. And, I mean, everybody knew that Middle was good, and everybody knew that we were good. And I drove down there because I didn't know if Tony Mitchell was going to leave after this season. And I wanted to make sure I got to see at least one game in person with Tony Mitchell.
Yeah, I did. But, I did something similar. I drove up from here in San Antonio. I'm in San Antonio right now. And, yeah, I drove to Denton to go see the season finale, the home season finale. Same thing. I think I'm probably going to do that again, see a couple games. Hopefully, I don't know, like, hopefully they play in the area. Like, last season they played in Austin. That was awesome to be, you know, the road crowd, the only green at the Frank Irwin Center.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet.
Like, we
commandeered their Texas fight thing. So they're, like, saying Texas, and we're screaming out, North! It was pretty sweet.
Yeah. I remember, actually, I don't remember if that game was on TV or it was on something. I don't know. I remember watching that game. And you
the Middle
hear,
Tennessee State?
Or no, the Texas game.
Oh, okay.
And you could actually hear the Texas crowd, or you could hear the North Texas crowd over the Texas crowd, which was awesome. It was pretty enjoyable, even though we lost the game. But, yeah, it was pretty cool. So I definitely think you'll get that. I think you'll get a lot of people that'll just drive in, like you said, just to see Tony Mitchell. Like, this is going to be his last year at North Texas. I got to go see him play. When am I ever going to get a chance to go see him play again? And the other cool thing about that Middle Tennessee game, there was like 20 NBA scouts there that day and a general manager. And I was sitting like in the section next to him. So I was sitting there watching them the whole time as they were taking notes and everything about Tony Mitchell.
Is it legit? Yeah. Like, talk a little bit more about that. Do they like what do they do? They have like their big legal pad out and scribbling notes or what?
Yeah. Like, they're in, you know, that press area that's in the middle of the super pit that, you know, everybody bitches about because they say we should sell those as tickets or whatever. But
yeah,
it's the best press row in the NCAA basketball, just to let anybody know. That's why we always get so much press, is because we have that seating. And no, that's completely true. Like, I took a class with Hank Dickinson, who's the associate athletic director, and he's one of the broadcasters, obviously, for North Texas, and he says that the reason we get so many people that come and cover North Texas is because we have the best seating. If you ever try to go to an arena, usually they put you like 30 rows up or whatever, but we have awesome press row seating. But anyways, that's a whole story for another day. But yeah, they sit there and they literally sit there and they have like a suit on, and they might have something that says like Cleveland Cavaliers, you know, something with an NBA team logo, and then they sit there and they just scribble. They scribble on notepads and laptops or whatever.
Like they have like the little logo they put out there, like the placard right there, or logo.
I didn't really see that, but
legal pad. Is that what you mean?
No, it was more just like they were wearing like a shirt.
Oh, okay. I mean,
like a, I don't know. It's hard to explain, but yeah, you could always kind of just tell they had something on them, whether it was like a, you know, like you said, on the pad or on a shirt or on something. Maybe they were carrying a bag that had a logo, but you could kind of just see, you know, different things. I wasn't like trying to like inert or stare at him because then they would think I'm creepy or something.
You should have sat next to him, man. What was you?
Yeah, I'll try this year. You know, if I go back, I'll try to do some snooping around for the podcast and see.
I'm gonna apply for press pass. Is what I'm gonna do. Mean Green Nation press pass. I want to sit in the best because like I always get like, you know, I don't have like the reserved seatings. I always get. I like the, you know, like the baseline ones, either like by the cheerleaders or on the other side, like by the student section. I like those seats. So I gotta try out, you know, like, and see if it's true. Like, is this the best press seating ever? And I'm gonna wear a hat with like the little thing that says press in it too.
Because we talk on the internet, so that makes us press, right?
Yeah. I use WordPress. WordPress, right, guys? Right?
Yeah. We actually have a couple people that listen to us, so we're definitely press.
Yeah.
but yeah. Anyways, we're excited for North Texas basketball.
Sweet. It's gonna be fun. All right. So that's like 35 minutes. I think that's a good podcast, given that it's summertime. Do we have anything else you want to talk about?
I mean, we could bring up the APR, but I really don't. I don't care either way.
Yeah. Well, I guess we could say a little something about that.
Hey, we passed.
yeah, we passed. It's not. We're not failing that again. That's like one of those things that should happen. Like, you shouldn't have to really think so much about it. And it was like a thorn in our side for so many years. So it's good. Everybody's, you know, passing their classes, and it's all good. We got a 938 in football, and the cutoff point is 925.
UConn got banned from the NCAA tournament in basketball because they didn't pass the APR. Yeah. So the big schools can get screwed over too. Yay.
Yeah, and what is it? A&M Corpus Christi also, right? But who cares about them? Yeah. Who cares about A&M Corpus Christi?
Nobody.
Yeah. What else? Is that it? Do we have any like other notes here? Let me look at the internet. Internet, what do you have for me?
I can't really think of anything else. It's slow season.
Yeah. Well, all right. That wraps episode 5. Like, that was like 400 weeks after episode 4. But it was fun.
It might be another 400 weeks.
Yeah, we're going to try to do it. Like, we're trying to find a good day. You know, we've just been busy and, you know, like doing things. Tony, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me at BSTN SportsFan3 on Twitter. And I think it's the same on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I don't really remember. But I'm on there both. They link to each other, so yeah.
Sweet.
Hit me up.
Yeah, you can find me if you want to just like see me talk about soccer and like what I ate this morning and all the other stuff. Like, my personal Twitter is AztecSkin. You find the blog's Twitter. The blog has one. It's Mean Green Nation. There's also a Facebook page that I have there. I set it up. I'm not a big fan of Facebook, but I have it there because my other buddy Mike Monday, who was, you know, who I interviewed on the Deranged Penguin podcast, which I also do. Check it out if you like funny stuff. He was like, oh man, we need a Facebook page, you know, that way I can do it. I was like, fine, here's your Facebook page. And like, I never even look at it, but that's there if you want to interact with that. Don't forget to check out meangreennation.com. I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, I figure that you've seen it. Anyway, so that's that. Thanks for listening. You can find us on iTunes. Leave a review also. Bye. That's it. Right?
Yep.
Right? Okay.
That's it. We have nothing else. You're going to shut up now.
Yeah. Leave. Yeah. Close the door. You know, exit the building. Leave.
Goodbye.
You're making it awkward. Leave already. Okay. All right. Not really.
Get out of here.
Okay.